Jared. And welcome to the Fixate and Binge podcast, where we discuss our fixation with movies and television.
And those that we consider absolutely binge-worthy right now.
Hi, welcome to the Fixate and Binge podcast. We've got a very interesting topic. I'm Joe.
I'm Jared.
And we want to talk about what is your relationship with TV? I know that I can speak for myself, and Jared and I are both the same age. We're both raised in the 1980s. We want to talk about our experience with TV growing up in the home. It's obviously had a far limited impact then as it does now. So Jared, I want to just ask you right away, what was your experience growing up with TV in your home?
All right, so the first TV we had was black and white.
Wow.
I remember it clearly, black and white TV. And my grandparents saw that. They came and visited us, and they bought us a Sony color TV.
Out of pity?
Which was amazing. Changed my world. It was great. So this Sony and I, we spent some time together. My mom has always been very protective about what we watch and how much time. Now, granted, at that time, back in the early 80s, how many channels were there? 3 to 5, maybe?
If that.
Yeah. You know, so really, there just weren't a lot of choices available. So for me, Saturday morning cartoons, PBS, you know, like Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and stuff like that, those were what I watched. I didn't really watch shows in the evening, but I do have some really great memories of my mom. She was single at the time after my dad died. Her and me and my sisters all folding clothes, watching Singing in the Rain.
Oh, wow.
Very warm memory. You know, so that's going back, way back, and that was being broadcast on the television. So I love TV. I love it. I don't care what anybody says, if it melts your brain or what. I love watching TV. I love watching movies. And I think it's a beautiful art form.
Yeah.
And I think it absolutely is inspired by and inspires real life. It's a great art form that I will watch until I'm dead.
That's fantastic. I also grew up in, I'm assuming you grew up in a religious.
Very.
And same. Very orthodox, very religious.
Very.
Family. We watched, oh my gosh, we would watch the Disney special.
Yeah.
And it was Davy Crockett in the Wild Frontier, you know, and we would, okay, we're watching stock footage from the 60s of bears and deer. I mean, really watered down, safe things.
Mm-hmm.
As I got a little bit older, I managed to, please let us watch the Dukes of Hazzard or the A-Team.
Yeah.
I remember my parents, especially my stepmom, rest her soul, would watch to make sure that when they were firing the guns, people weren't being shot with the bullets.
Okay.
And she was very happy to hear. And then I remember she was okay with us watching the A-Team because George Peppard was in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Mm, okay.
She didn't like that he smoked cigars. She didn't like that. And then we found out that, of course, George Peppard said, "Don't worry, kids, I don't inhale."
Seems like someone else we know have said that too.
I did not inhale. Yeah. So it was okay. It was safe to watch the A-Team. And there were no cuss words too, so that was great. So I grew up with the A-Team and the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yes.
Of course, the Dukes of Hazzard is canceled now.
Yep.
But I love TV. It was escapism, and I remember always wanting to be invited to my best friend's house because his parents were much more liberal with TV viewing at his house, and we would stay up till midnight watching TV. I mean, everything.
Lucky.
And I remember that the Fall Guy.
I love the Fall Guy.
You love the Fall?
I love that show.
I remember the Fall Guy. Even the opening credits where Heather Thomas walks out in a big string bikini, they shut the TV off in my house. That's it. We won't even get to the episode.
Okay, so I've got a funny story about the Fall Guy.
Yeah.
So my little sister, I was six maybe.
Yeah.
Probably six. My mom was single still. My little sister was sitting on the couch. We were all in the living room. I had the Fall Guy on, and I'm trying to watch it. My little sister just kept crying, crying and crying and crying. Wah, something hurts so bad. And my mom is holding her. And I remember saying, I was so frustrated and fed up. I said, my sister's name is Heidi. Heidi, stop it. I'm trying to watch Fall Guy. And so, actually, no, I said, Heidi, be quiet. I'm trying to watch Fall Guy. And that night she went to the ER because her appendix had ruptured. So years later, I'm literally in the hospital because my appendix nearly burst.
Oh, wow.
And I get a phone call from my beloved sister. And the first thing she says to me is, Jared, be quiet. I'm trying to watch Fall Guy. I had that coming.
Yeah. Yeah. You earned
totally
that.
Had that coming. Yeah.
That's so cool. I just love the carefree, the good guy wins. Everything about the Fall Guy was fantastic, but I especially liked it because it felt illicit.
Right.
It felt like I was sneaking it. It's like sneaking into your first PG-13 film when you're not quite 13.
And, you know, talking about risque, what did you think about Charlie's Angels?
We didn't watch Charlie's Angels. We didn't watch The Love Boat. And The Love Boat's very tame.
Yeah.
We didn't watch Fantasy Island.
Okay.
We didn't watch that stuff. We didn't watch Falcon Crest. We didn't watch that stuff.
I was able to sneak that stuff.
Really?
Because, my mom was single.
Yeah.
So I got away with a lot of stuff for a brief window of time there.
I remember watching episodes of Gentle Ben.
Okay, that
was
good.
I remember watching reruns of The $6 Million Man.
Yeah, that was fun.
And the original Hulk TV series.
All the Westerns.
With Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah, yeah. I love that, yeah.
My family was so against TV in the house that, I mean, they limited it. But I remember the worst TV experience I had as a kid happened every Easter. We were one of those families that would watch the Ten Commandments.
Oh, my goodness.
All 15 hours of Charlton Heston. And
did you watch the intro and the prelude? And
the whole thing. And I remember every year, I'm like, the only thing I really care about seeing is the Dead Sea splitting. That's the only cool thing. That's it.
It's pretty cool. It really is. How about Saturday morning cartoons?
Yeah.
What were you allowed to watch there?
I was able to watch about an hour to an hour and a half of Saturday morning cartoons before TV's off, run and play, or we're doing chores.
That's pretty good.
And I remember, my goodness, what would I watch? Because I don't want to confuse my after school cartoon.
I know. My memory's starting to kind of blend things together because before I went to school, I was able to watch a certain amount because my mom was at work and I knew that after Scooby-Doo, I had to hightail it to school.
Yeah.
Or else I'd be late.
I mean, I remember watching, oh my gosh, again, I mean, this is where the age sets in, right?
Yeah.
I mean, eventually the family I was with, they divorced. That was an adoptive family. I was briefly in foster care. They divorced. And I went back with my dad and his wife across the United States, and they were much more liberal with TV. Hey,
if you wide open.
You kids stop fighting, I'll put the TV on.
Yeah,
okay.
There you go.
So I was watching G.I. Joe. I was watching He-Man. I was watching Transformers, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Gummy Bears, Ghostbusters. You name it, I was watching
stuff.
It. All the good after-school cartoons. And then there was another show. So my dad and his wife, they would watch evening TV. And I think they just got bored of kicking me out of the room. And I started watching. So I really liked Miami Vice.
That's a good show.
I thought that was so cool.
Yeah.
I liked Airwolf.
Yeah, that was fun.
And Knight Rider.
Knight Rider, yeah.
And I still...
How about The Equalizer? Did you ever watch that one?
I watched a couple episodes of that with Edward Woodward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic
actor.
I love
that show.
Yeah.
He's basically a vigilante.
Absolutely. With a nice British accent, you know. He'll kill you in the name of justice.
But he's cultured.
But he's cultured. And so it's almost a nice thing he's done to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I remember watching Airwolf and thinking, someday I'll have a son, and I will call him Stringfellow Hawk. I still thought that was the coolest name for a character.
Okay, I think I would punch you in the stomach if you named your kid that.
what? I mean, I got into Magnum PI a little bit late.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if my parents, my foster or adoptive parents thought that by limiting TV, it would diminish or blunt my interest or my love for it, they could not have been more wrong. They just grew my desire to consume and watch more.
I would totally agree with that because there, when I was 16, like 15 to about early 17, my parents, we sold our house in town. We bought 10 acres out in the country and we lived with no electricity, no running water on the side of a hill for 2 years.
Oh my gosh.
So we had no phone, no TV, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a window there where I didn't watch TV at all because I literally didn't have electricity. So
right.
I missed a lot of shows, but every time I would go to my friends' houses, I would want to turn that TV on and just sit there and binge watch. And they're like, hey, let's go out and go hiking. Like, I live on the side of a mountain. I don't care about hiking. Let's watch TV.
Right.
Oh, and do you have any snacks? Because I don't have those either.
Wow.
So that would be nice. But so, yeah, exactly. My parents, I think, because of the religious influence, they were very concerned about the morality being conveyed by various TV shows and movies. Like, for example, R-rated movies, absolutely forbidden. Mm-hmm. I did watch some of those when I was 17.
Okay.
Because I had a friend who was cool and had a basement.
Yeah.
But their attempts to keep me away from TV were futile.
Right.
Because I absolutely loved it no matter what they tried.
Yeah.
And I watched whatever I could whenever I could. So, yeah.
I think the same thing with me. My parents, this is really funny. This tells you what type of person I was when I was a teenager and I was about 13 or 14 years old. My parents decided they were going to get home box office. You know, they got the box and the cable and the guy with the HBO truck came out, hooked it up and it was a big deal. And then they sat us all down. I was back with a different family, my dad and his wife. Hey kids, you know, there were no parental controls back then. Right.
No.
So the best thing they could do is, just lecture us and tell us you are not allowed to watch anything beyond a PG-13.
Okay, sure, Dad.
So they went off to like Sam's Club for shopping one Saturday and they come back and they catch me and my younger brother halfway through Scarface. And they were so pissed off. They ripped the cable out of the wall. They called HBO. They said, that's it. It's out of here.
Man, that's sex, drugs, violence, probably some rock and roll. I can't remember.
Yeah, it was.
They had it all in that one.
And I was like, that sucks because anyway, so that's what did it. That's what took
hilarious.
It away.
You know, we had a family friend. She was a single lady and she had, do you remember those giant discs?
Laser discs.
The laser discs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the big old record players for movies.
Yeah.
Anyway, she had one of those. She also had whatever cable was available at the time. And she had some crazy movies playing on that on that TV.
Yeah.
One of them was Zapped. Do you remember that?
Yes. With Scott Baio.
Scott Baio. So if you haven't seen this, our listener, it's a story about a young man who is in high school mm-hmm. who suddenly discovers he has powers to instantly undress young ladies at whatever whim he desires. So I saw boobies for the first time on that show and I liked it.
Oh no. And that show has aged like cheese.
Oh,
or aged
it's
like
a
milk.
Terrible show. I mean, honestly.
No consent. Just zap the bra.
It's
off.
A terrible, terrible story.
Yeah, yeah.
Horrible story.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was eight, maybe?
Eight. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was eight. And I really enjoyed some of those scenes. But,
well, it awakened something.
It definitely did.
awakened something maybe a few years before
probably,
it should have been awakened.
A few years too soon. All right, so with that, let's talk about something real quick. So
sure.
You and I both have kids.
Yeah.
How have you managed your kids' relationship with television?
Yeah, that is such a great question. And I'm assuming it might be this way for other listeners who have kids of varying ages. I have a 7-year-old, a 13-year-old, and a 17-year-old. My 7-year-old and my 13-year-old, they don't necessarily gobble down TV the way I thought they would.
Mm-hmm.
They're more interested in YouTube videos.
Okay.
With
my
people.
Kids too.
Yeah. Are they the same?
They will watch YouTube and TikToks for days.
Yeah, endlessly. And it's weird how the attention span or the interest, these influencers, they've done algorithms, mm-hmm. they've done their research or market research at YouTube or TikTok. I mean, they know what the prime attention span is, and they've seemingly perfected it. Because
I would say so.
Because my kids, I don't even think they have the patience to sit through a 30-minute sitcom and want to come back and continue watching it.
Yeah, it's like pulling teeth to get my boys to watch a movie with us. My younger boys, anyway.
Right, yeah.
They would rather just watch YouTube.
Yeah, just endlessly arts and craft mm-hmm. YouTube videos. My 13-year-old is into makeup, and so she'll watch these influencers and applying makeup. Mm-hmm. They'll watch goofy videos on TikTok.
Yeah.
I was a little bit surprised by that. I thought they would be a little bit more like me when I was growing up and want to digest as much TV shows or fall in love with a TV show and just eat it up. And no, that's sit for 22 minutes. Who does that? I could watch 10 YouTube videos at that time, right?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because being raised like you mentioned up front, in an Orthodox religious Christian. Kind of a fundamentalist type of a religious household. The fear there was if we watched anything that was sexual or was violent, I would become overly sexual and overly violent. That was the fear.
Yeah.
So that was instilled in my mind from a very young age. And, looking back on it, I didn't become interested in becoming a pornographer or something because I watched Zapped. I think the fear thing of the fear aspect of trying to control your kids' TV and video consumption, I think that's where my parents probably missed the point because it's just entertainment.
Right.
It really is just entertainment. Now, I will say, overly violent, like graphically violent portrayals of murders and rape and things like this, that's not good for anybody. I really don't think that's good for anyone.
Right.
But to think that if, if my boys peek, the backside of a woman or a naked man or whatever, that they're going to be ruined mentally or spiritually or something. That's fear mongering. That's overkill. And I think kids are going to find a way to consume the material that they want, that they're interested in anyway.
Yeah. I think you're touching on something that's right on it. I mean, the irony of my parents' rigid control of any content coming in the home, their over-rigidness actually planted the seeds for me to consume more.
Absolutely.
I kind of thought, if you guys just kind of relax a little bit, maybe let me watch The Fall Guy in the house. I might actually have had a diminished desire to consume these things outside the home.
Yeah.
And I think about that in other things in parenting, and I don't want to turn it into a parenting podcast.
It's true, though.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree, because what I found is in my friends' homes where there was TV, even with cable, and no real restrictions, my friends didn't sit around and watch TV all day.
Yeah.
They would watch some shows, they would watch some movies, but they were out doing stuff.
Yeah.
They were active people. It wasn't like they just became these couch potatoes permanently.
Yeah.
So, and same with snacks, like sugary snacks.
Sure.
My family, we did not have those very often. And so today I absolutely love junk food, and I've had to kind of reprogram myself that I am not going to starve if I don't eat that whole bag of Hostess powdered donuts. They can wait.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just, it's the irony that you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, one of the things that actually amplified my interest to consume content that I knew wouldn't be welcomed in the house, one of the things that amplified it was the excitement.
Yeah.
This is illicit.
Yeah,
this is
sneaking.
A rush.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, why don't you just take the rush away?
Right.
And it's not as interesting now. Oh, the thrill is kind of gone.
A little bit.
Yeah. Okay. And I think that's where parents overdo it.
Totally.
They inadvertently actually make it harder, which is ironic to me.
Yeah.
I was thinking about some of the content that we have in our home. We do watch shows as a family. I intentionally make certain shows events where I'm like, this is event TV, cell phone's down, we're cracking some popcorn, dimming the lights, and we're gonna watch Stranger Things.
Okay.
Or we're going to watch Kenobi or The Mandalorian.
Cool.
Or whatever. But sometimes there are shows and movies and content where they'll hear rated R language. They'll hear the F word. They'll hear different variations of profanity. My kids don't use profanity. And I know everyone listening is laughing and saying, you think they don't. I'm like, no, I know that my son doesn't. He doesn't like profanity. And I think it's because his mother and I don't use it in the home in front of him. We don't. And I think that's actually a good lesson. It's like, look, we can look and watch content on TV, just like you were saying. You know, I mean, I can watch something that's, you know, with nudity or whatever, and that doesn't mean I'm going to turn into a pornographer.
No.
You know, and I think the parents have an excellent opportunity to say, look, that's illusion.
Yeah.
And this is reality. And yes, some of those characters use bad language. You don't hear your mom and dad, or your mom or your dad, if you're in a single home situation. Single parent situation. You don't hear us use that. Do you see that we don't have to do what the content implies us, you know?
And I think I would take it a little further too. What if they do swear?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Right.
Is that really the end of the world?
Right.
They're words. And yeah, there's a time and place for them.
Yeah.
But it's not the end of the world. And I think that's the thing that my parents missed and that I also misunderstood is even if my kids did have, say, a sexual experience as a teenager,
right,
would that be the end of the world? I used to think it would be.
Right.
And I thought that TV might influence that. But I've come to find that it really is not the end of the world.
Right.
People are okay.
You know, it's that great quote by Robert Frost. It's viral. You can find it anywhere. It goes something like, the only thing I know about life is it goes on. And it's
always.
it's like, look, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
You know, we can move on.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that's a very good point. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, TV, it's been in my life as long as I can remember. It will be a partner with me until the day I die.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy it. I don't apologize for that at all.
You know, nor do I. One of the great gifts of streaming is I have the option to say, I don't want ads interrupting my shows.
Yeah.
And I remember being during A-Team episodes or Dukes of Hazzard episodes where I'm like, I have to pee so bad. My eyes are floating. My eyes are floating. I just got to get to the commercial. And then I'd run down the hallway and go to the bathroom and then run back. And I remember once, I don't know what it is. I had to go to a baseball game and had to take a shower. And I'm like, I'm going to take a shower during the commercial break.
That's a fast shower.
That's right. And I pulled it off. I ran out with my towel around my waist as the show was just coming back.
You have soap still in your hair?
It wasn't much of a shower. Who are we kidding, right? But that's gone, you know, that's gone. And our kids, they don't know that world.
Now you just pause it and do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Pick it up in 2 weeks if you want.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah.
Well, this has been fun. Yeah, you remember a lot of shows that I didn't think about when I was thinking about this, but yeah, there's a lot of nostalgia in there. So
definitely.
All right. So, you know, I wonder I wonder what other people were watching, what they, and really how they manage their own kids' TV time.
Yeah.
It's a tricky concept, especially now with so much available. It is tricky. And I understand the fear. I really do.
You know, I was going to, the one line of last thing I would say on that is, there's so much content.
So much. Endless.
In fact, there's so much. When we grew up, there was only 3-4 channels. Yeah. 10, 11 o'clock at night, it was...
yeah, it was done.
That was it. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, there's no break. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can get on the Netflix and what do I feel like watching? And I'm like, I don't know what to watch. There's a million things to watch. Foreign shows, domestic shows, classic shows. And as a matter of fact, there's so much choice, I can't decide half the time.
Yeah. When I'm watching something with my wife,
yeah,
it can take 15, 20 minutes to find something for her to decide on before we actually press play.
Yeah.
It's really annoying, I got to say.
Yeah.
I love you very much.
That's it. That's awesome.
Well, I think what that means then is we all need to figure out what we like and learn some self-control. Or else we would watch TV constantly. Yep. But self-control is key. Just turning it off isn't, turning it off forever isn't the answer. I think just figuring out what's wise.
I agree. Yeah, finding balance in everything. A phrase that I think Jared and I know pretty well is moderation in all things.
Right.
And it's important to be moderate. There is an awful lot of TV out there. There's not a lot of life left. Life is so short.
Yes.
That's really the purpose of the podcast that we think is to try and tell you what's worth your time.
Yeah.
And I hope we can have more conversations about that.
All righty. Peace out.
Peace out.